Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. You may be seated. So if you can remember back probably 5 or so months ago, when we first talked about me taking a sabbatical this summer, there was 3 purposes to the sabbatical. It was to enjoy rest and rejuvenation. Jamie just asked me if I feel rested, and in one sense, yes, but with 4 kids and a busy summer, no. You just can never feel completely rested physically. But seek the Lord for spiritual growth, and seek counseling and development in the areas of marriage and leadership. I would say that my sabbatical didn't go as I necessarily expected it to go. But it was very fruitful, and the Lord really showed up in a lot of ways. One of the things that the elders encouraged me to have this summer was a sabbatical coach. And I know a couple of you probably know this man. Most of you do not. His name is Milan Homola. He is a friend I met birding about 3 years ago. We hit it off really quickly and found out, we're both believers. We're both in ministry. We both love birds. It was just great. But anyway, so we've been friends, good friends, for 3 years now. And Milan often coaches pastors and things like that. So he was my sabbatical coach this summer. And we met every other week so that he made sure that I was staying on task with the goals in mind. Okay? So one of the biggest things that Milan told me early on was don't do, just be. Which is really hard when you're a doer. I like checklists, I like tasks, I like getting them done. I like that feeling of accomplishment, like, oh, I did this. And he was really encouraging me, don't do, just be. Because I need to learn how to be a son of the Heavenly Father. I need to learn how to just be a Christian, be a disciple. Don't do, just be. So the first month of my sabbatical, May. Does anyone know what happens in May?
Birthday.
This is another one of my birding friends back here in the corner, Rick. What happens in May, Ron?
Warblers.
Warblers? Okay. What specifically? Why do warblers show up? What?
Migration.
So, my favorite month of the year, my first month off of doing, and I spent a lot of time in the woods. So, I'm not going to share with you all the pictures. Thank you. Not going to share with you all the pictures, but just some. This was my office for the month of May. You know, out in the woods. Some prairies, just different habitats. I got out nearly every day. I think Leanne was starting to get a little bit worried about me. But it was part of this whole just don't do, just be. And I spent a lot of time out in these types of habitats alone. I chose early on, it was also suggested at the beginning of the sabbatical, maybe just take a break from the noise. So on a lot of my walks around Lake Phelan, I would be listening to sermons or podcasts or audiobooks or music or things like that. I chose to not listen to anything in the car or anything in my headphones for most of the summer. I'd say, you know, I'd listen to music and things like that. But for the most part, I kept the earbuds out all the time. And it was so good to just be in God's creation and start hearing from God. Some of the birds I saw, I had some great photo opportunities just being out in God's creation for a month. So some of them, you know, common birds that we would see. Some are uncommon birds. It's kind of ironic that my friend Rick is here. We spent, I think it was 13 hours one day chasing this bird. We never got it, but we ended up both getting it a week or two later. But this is a burrowing owl, very rare for Minnesota. I also got to see things other than birds. This was a really fantastic experience with a little coyote pup that I met on the trail. I know that my kids said that photo looks AI. It's not at all. Like, it was that good of an opportunity. So it was just, it was great to be out. But one of the first lessons I felt like the Lord teaching me was to surrender my anger. Okay? I'm going to share with you guys some embarrassing things about me this morning, so this will be fun. One of the things Leanne and I did in May, I think it was mid-May, we went to a Phil Wickham concert at the Target Center. And it was your typical kind of Christian music concert. It was good. It didn't, you know, do anything for me specifically, but there was a break in Phil Wickham's set where he had another upcoming Christian artist come on, and she sang three songs. And one of the songs that she sang, her name was Jamie McDonald, one of the songs that she sang is called Desperate. And I don't know why, but the Lord just met me there during that song. I just want to read some of the lyrics. Because as I heard this woman singing this song, I made it my prayer. And this was really, I would say, the part in my sabbatical where I started really hearing from God. Okay? The song says, I'm at the end of myself and I'm tired. I've tried all that I know to do. Right now, it's just by a thread, but I'm hanging on to you. I'm running out of hope. I need a miracle. And if I ever needed you, it's right now. And then the chorus says, oh God, I'm desperate, down on my knees. Send help from heaven, because that's what I need. Redeem this wreckage, restore my peace. I'm not asking, I'm begging. Lord, come through for me. I need heaven, and I'm desperate. And there was something in that song that just, I made that my prayer, and I just said, Lord, this is my prayer to you. Would you meet me? I'm desperate for you. And I think the Lord wanted to show me who I was yet before he really took action. On our way out of the concert, Leanne and I, just long story short, we almost got hit by a bus. And I had some not so nice words and hand gestures for the bus driver. And you guys, I can't remember feeling so low. I just walked out of a worship concert. I just walked out praying desperately to God. And then I go and do something like that. I was embarrassed that Leanne was with me. I mean, she remembers me just crying. Like, what's in me that just came out so quickly? Especially after just worshiping with thousands of other people. And I had to pray a prayer of repentance. Lord, I surrender my anger. I don't know why I'm so angry. I don't know why it can come out just like that. But I surrender that to you. And he doesn't do it immediately. But I felt a change over the next week where I just felt less and less angry. So that was lesson number one, surrendering my anger. Lesson number two, surrendering my will. I'm going to share with you guys some more bird stories. I hope you don't mind. There was a rare bird reported down in Brown County in mid-May. It's a two-hour drive from St. Paul. I got up and left at like 5 in the morning so I could get down there bright and early at 7 o'clock. I know a lot of you guys probably don't think that's fun. It fills my heart. But anyways, I get down there. I have the coordinates for where this bird was reported. I did not do my research and realize it was inside of a state park. Guess who doesn't like paying money for state park stickers? Right? It's dumb. I pay enough taxes, I shouldn't have to. But I pull in, there's at 7 in the morning, there's no attendance there. You know, you can just kind of drive in. And I get to the spot where the bird is supposed to be. And it's great because you drive through the state park and you kind of go down this dead-end road. And then there's like it loops around just enough to hide a car behind the bushes. So I kind of thought, you know, I could just park right here and bird for a little bit. And even if a state park person, you know, drives down this road a little ways, they're not going to see my car. It's perfect. $7 for a day pass or $35 for a year. Okay? It's really not that bad. But for some reason, for me, I'm just like, no.
You know what you're getting?
So I'm sitting down there. It's probably been a good half an hour. This bird should be singing. There should be birds all around. This is mid-May. There's barely anything. It's windy. It's kind of cold. I'm barely seeing any birds. And I'm just like, man, this stinks. I just drove all this way this early in the morning. And then I felt God kind of whispering to me, who do you think you are? You think you can just drive into a state park without paying the thing, and you think I'm going to bless you with the bird that you're trying to find? It's kind of comical, but kind of not, right? Like, I kind of felt like Adam in the garden after he sinned. Like, it's windy, and I got God saying, who do you think you are? Okay? So, I felt convicted. I go on my phone, on the app. I do all this stuff. I buy the stupid state park thing just because it's the right thing to do. And all of a sudden, the wind stopped, you guys. And one of the first birds I heard singing was the one I was looking for. Now, does God do that every time? Absolutely not. Rick can attest to that as well. But here's the thing. In that moment, I think God wanted to teach me a lesson. You don't get to choose what's right and wrong. You just be obedient. You need to surrender your will. If your will says you get to choose, God's in charge. And I don't think God, like, you know, punishes us in the same way that we often think. But I do think sometimes he withholds blessings from us because of our lack of obedience. And I needed to learn to surrender my will. Oh, here's my pictures. By the way, there's the rare bird, a white-eyed vireo. You guys have never heard of it. It's okay. But there you go. But I needed to learn to surrender my will and say, Lord, you get to decide what's right or wrong. Even if I don't like it, I need to be obedient. Even if you don't reward me with the thing I was looking for, I need to be obedient. Lesson number three, surrendering my desires. In 2019, I have a friend that runs an online music publication. He covers rock and metal shows, and he asked me if I wanted to be a part of that and do concert photography and write up reviews. And I've been doing that since 2019. It was such a great opportunity. I got to bring my kids to shows quite often, once or twice a month maybe. So I would get free tickets in exchange for doing this photography gig. They would often get close to the stage. Sometimes they would meet the rock stars and stuff after the shows. it was a really fun opportunity for me and the kids. It was a great opportunity for me to blend my passion of music and photography together. Being up close to the stage for the first three songs of a band set is quite an adrenaline rush. And often the tickets that we would get for free, if it wasn't standing room, I know Mike's gone with me a couple times, we got up pretty close to the stage. I mean, it was within the first 10 rows usually. And it was just a great opportunity. It was exciting. Here's some of my pictures that I've taken. I've had posted pictures of my shows on social media and have some of the biggest rock stars in the world like my photos. And there's been a few times, here's Joe Bonamassa. Mike and I went to a couple times, but even some of them like Joe Bonamassa reached out their managers and stuff and asked to have my photos for their promos and stuff. It was an amazing opportunity that I've done for years now. But during these quiet times in May, I found myself praying to the Lord to change my life. And he says, well, you need to be willing to change it. You can't just keep going on the way that you want to, doing whatever you want to do, and expect your life to change. Are you willing to surrender all of it, all your desires? And I remember this moment in the car. I don't remember what highway I was on. I drove so much in May. But I was driving home, and I remember crying and just praying to God, like, Lord, I surrender it all. The two things I enjoy most are concert photography and nature photography. And if you want to take either one or both, I surrender that to you. And I felt like the Lord saying, you can keep the birds, but I want you to surrender the other thing, the other opportunity. And you guys, I'm not going to lie, there's a part of it, it's really hard. It's hard to get into that, to have an opportunity to do that. And a lot of people would love to do it. And I remember kind of going back and forth with the Lord, like, but I'm good at it. I'm good at it. And it's given me a lot of opportunities to bless others. You know, I took Cameron to a show once and the kids, and we just had so many fun memories. And he just said, just because you're good at something doesn't mean you should do it. So I surrendered it. And sending the email to the guys that run the publication, it was tough to hit that send button. But as soon as I did, I felt that weight lift off of me and say, well done. And I felt like God saying, I'm going to have other creative outlets for you in the future. Just trust me. So I had to surrender some desires. Lesson number four, surrendering my self-protection. This is maybe I'm still trying to figure this one all out. Maybe a little backstory. When I was a kid, I think I was probably Henry's age, 13, 14, somewhere in there. Someone shot my dog. He would occasionally run away from home, but there was one time we went looking for him and we found him in a ditch. He had been shot right between the eyes, which means someone did it really close. And I think that moment, you guys, something hardened in my heart. And I think it was self-protection. I think I just didn't want to feel close to another pet again. And Leanne can probably tell you, over the last 20 years, I haven't been very sensitive talking about my pets or my animals. I think it's even spilled over into how I view people and things like that. But there's a self-protection there, I think. And this summer, this summer we realized Tater was not doing well, our dog. He had lost a lot of weight over the last year, but this summer it was getting really bad. And we decided to schedule an appointment to put him down. And it was hard because we had talked about doing that on and off before. But every several days that he did bad, he'd have one really good day and be like, well, maybe he's okay, you know, and we kept putting it off, and it just got to the point where we had to make the appointment. And the day that was scheduled, he was his normal self, and it was really tough. The car ride there, he was just sitting there with his tongue hanging out, just enjoying the car ride. I got there early, and I'm like, I'm going to take him for one last walk. And I did that, and he's just doing his little prancing thing. He had not done that for almost a year, I bet. And it was really hard. Here you can see, I took a picture. I'm crying. I had not cried in 20 years over an animal before, but the Lord did something the day I had to put Tater down and soften my heart to just let go of that self-protection and say, it's okay. It's okay to cry. It's okay to feel. And I think that softening in my heart, it prepped me for what's coming next. I had met with my sabbatical coach later that week, and in our conversation, it was kind of awkward, mostly for him. He had to call me out on some unbelief. I think I said something, you know, Leanne and I had been struggling in our marriage for a while, and I shared with him something about, like, I don't think she'll ever change, and I don't think I ever will either. And he told me, so you don't believe in the power of the gospel. You guys, that hit me so hard. And he did this in a very loving way, but he basically said, shame on you for standing up every Sunday and preaching the gospel and not believing it yourself. And those words they primed my heart. So God softened my heart with the Tater thing. He softened my heart with Mylan's hard words to me. And lesson number 5 is surrendering my pride. As I shared earlier, one of the big reasons for the sabbatical was just to give Leanne and I some time to work on our marriage and get some help. It's been struggling for several years now. And we went to North Carolina to go to a week-long marriage intensive. Here's a picture of us on the plane. Look at Leanne's face, you guys. Yeah. Do you have any idea how hard it is to go to a week-long marriage retreat when your wife has a black eye? I mean, people didn't even know what we were doing as we were traveling there, but everyone was looking at us. It was rough. Anyways, here's a picture looking out of our Airbnb. It was fairly quiet. There was a pond back there. We spent a lot of time together that week. The marriage counseling was really good. I think both of us kind of expected to go there with our list of complaints and just go at it and hope that we could convince the counselor to take our side, right? That's usually how those things go. But this was set up pretty different. We had homework every night. One of the homework assignments was writing down a list of complaints, and it was really easy for us to buzz through that homework the first night. But then we had to change it, and we had to reword it. Like, when you do this, I feel this. And then I think it was day 3 or 4 before we finally got to going through that together. And by that time, we had just been learning how to communicate better. Okay, so they taught us how to communicate better. We had a whole 2 days where we went through this list and we listened without interrupting, and we understood one another, and we forgave one another, and we decided we're going to start fresh, completely fresh. I know a lot of you guys have been married longer than what we have. We still have 20 years under our belt. So we feel like we've been through a lot. And, you know, with that comes just a lot of bad habits and old resentments and things that you maybe even brought into the marriage that you didn't realize, and it affects you. But we really felt the Lord show up that week, both through the counselor and just our time together, that he was giving us a fresh start. So by the end of the week, Leanne's got glasses on, so you can't see her minimizing black eye, but we felt better together. And we felt like this is the Lord giving us a fresh start. We really felt like he showed up in an incredible, miraculous way and said, this is going to be new. So surrendering my pride, it was all about admitting to my sins, my junk that I've brought into the marriage, have in the marriage, will probably continue to struggle with for years to come, but just admitting that it's not all her and her doing the same to me. And we're both saying, Lord, you can have our pride. You can have our marriage. We surrender it to you. Lesson number 6, surrendering my fear. Part of the new start, I felt quite strongly from the Lord that we had to move out of our house. We've been there for 8.5 years. There's a lot of memories there, a lot of good memories, some not so great memories, but we really felt the Lord saying it's time to move. And even though it doesn't all make sense how it's all going to work out, just take that step of faith. Surrender your fear. And I get my dates wrong. When was this? Early July?
July 4th is when we decided we were going to move. And July 9th is when we moved in.
Yeah. So July 4th, we decided we're going to just get a rental. The long-term goal would be to find a forever home. But it's really hard to sell a house and find that forever home at the same time. And just with some struggling finances and stuff, we just decided we're gonna sell our house. We're gonna move into a rental for a year or two and hopefully get all the finances in order and build up a good down payment for the future. But right now, just feeling the Lord saying it's time to move from this place and start fresh. So here's for sale sign in front of our house. Here's a picture of our new rental up just east of Maplewood Mall. Thank you, Rowan, for taking that picture for me. But we're just excited. The last 2 months that we've been here, it has felt new. It feels like the Lord is really with us. One of our homework assignments from the marital retreat was just that we spend 15 minutes a day together uninterrupted. And for the most part, we've been doing that, and it's just been wonderful to do that and be in a new place. We would also ask that you guys pray for us for our house to sell as well. Cameron and Elizabeth, I don't think it would be a great choice for you because it doesn't have a yard.
And a wall.
Or a wall. And it's further from your work, but it just... as you're praying for them to find a home, please also pray for us to sell our home. We're in a pickle right now with just financially. But again, I am just trusting the Lord, holding on to faith that we heard from him. And we're going to trust him regardless of our bank account right now. So just surrendering my fear. This is not something I would ever normally do. You guys, if you know me in any way, I don't like risks. I hate moving. But I just felt strongly from the Lord, it's time to surrender your fear and step up and do what I'm asking you to do.
We can't wait to have you guys over.
Yes, it will be good.
Yay.
Lesson number 7, surrendering my tongue.
Oh boy.
I know.
Wow.
I can be good at talking. I kind of do it for my job here. My tongue also gets me into trouble sometimes. I won't go into all the details, but this is just a lesson I learned maybe 2 weeks ago. Sabbatical wasn't done yet. It was a couple weeks ago. The boys have really gotten into fishing lately. I took Henry and Rowan to Sucker Lake up in Badness. I dropped them off to do some fishing. I was going to do some birding. It's just amazing how that works. And while we were there, there was 2 obnoxious kids, like really bad, you guys. I could hear them from a long ways away, just making noise, being inappropriate, all that. There were some other fishermen there. There were some other birders there. We were all shooting each other looks. I decided, I'm going to go take care of this. And I went and I yelled at the kids, and they shut up immediately, and they left. And it was great, and I was just, you know, all proud of myself. And I kind of felt the Lord saying, like, really? You feel proud about yelling at some kids? Like, you think that's kind of cool? So this is in my mind. There was also a few weeks ago, I found Mylan and I found a rare bird that needed a lot of documentation. Long story short, I didn't document real good, went back and forth email with the moderator who looks at all the reports and stuff like that. I was a little snarky. And again, I felt the Lord just kind of convicting me, like, is that who you want to be? Snarky, you know, yelling at kids, just being smart, is that who you want to be? And I said, no, it's not. It doesn't reflect who I want to be. And I had a moment in the morning, again, you know, searching for certain target birds and expecting God to, you know, answer my prayers that I would see these birds. I remember stopping at a gas station. This is really embarrassing. Stopping at a gas station, and I see some litter on the parking spot, and I picked it up, and I thought, you know, God sees me doing this. This isn't even my trash. I'm taking care of it. Aren't I such a good guy? You know, this kind of stuff runs through my mind, and I just felt like the Lord saying, really? You think that impresses me, picking up trash? Why don't you be humble and obedient? And the moderator for the bird reports, I emailed him an apology. I owned it. I just told him I wasn't kind in my response back to him. I said, that's not the person I want to be. And God didn't have to do this, but he blessed me with my target bird again after I sent that email. And again, I don't think God would speak that way to you guys. He speaks that way to me. He gives me little winks to say, hey, I'm your heavenly Father. I want to bless you. I want you to have joy. But I also need you to abide in me. I need you to surrender to me. I need you to be obedient. Don't do, Joey, just be. And I found myself praying, Lord, would you continue to grow me to be kind and encouraging and gentle? That's not my fleshly nature by any means. But that's who I want to be, and that's who I can be if I surrender to Christ. And I continue to do so. Surrender, you guys, is not just a one-time thing. It's a continual thing over and over and over again. And this sabbatical this summer has taught me lessons of surrender, and I'm going to continue growing in all of these and more to come. But it's about surrender. Not to work harder, but to surrender. I think too often we try to muster up the strength to change ourselves, change our circumstances, all that. It doesn't work. I'm sure some of you older people in here can say, I've been trying for 70, 80 plus years, and it doesn't work. It always comes back to just surrendering to Christ. You are my king. You can have my life. You can do what you want with me. I'm yours. Don't do, just be. And I think when we stop doing and we start being, abiding in Christ, we truly find joy, and none of that other stuff matters. As much as I love birding, do you think it actually matters? It doesn't. What matters is abiding in Christ, and then your joy will be full. Philippians 1:6 says, and I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Until you're dead or until Jesus comes back, he's working that out to completion in me and you. He's the one doing. I just need to surrender to it. So John 15, 10 and 11. If you keep my commandments, not to earn salvation, right, you will abide in my love. You keep the commandments to abide in Christ. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love, these things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. The Lord wants us to enjoy this life, but we do it by surrendering and abiding in him and him alone. And I just want to invite you guys to this joy. Maybe you connected with some of the same lessons I shared. Maybe yours are different, but I think all of us can say, I want that joy in Christ. And my invitation to you this morning then is to abide in Jesus. Just continue to surrender each and every day, each and every moment of each day. Surrender to Jesus. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I just thank you for the gift of my sabbatical. I thank you that you showed up in miraculous ways, that you have softened my heart, that you have healed some of the struggles that I had personally, that Leanne and I had maritally. Lord, that you showed up and taught us what it means to be a church, just how big you are, the different ways that that you just bless us. And I just thank you, Lord, for these lessons in discipline, because it makes us more like you. So Lord, would you continue this work to make us more like your son? And I pray that you would give us and bless us with the faith to surrender. All God's people said.
Amen.